AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news talk and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Facet Wealth.
I'm Steve Kathan. A possible strike that could have derailed the economy has been prevented with a signature on a newly passed bill this morning from President Biden.
The bill forces workers in four unions to work under a contract they voted against. President Biden acknowledged the awkward position that put Democrats in.
It was a tough for me, but it was the right thing to do at the moment.
While the agreement lacks the sick leave rail workers demanded, Mr. Biden insists the push isn't over.
I've supported paid sick leave for a long time. I'm going to continue that fight till we succeed.
The president stressed the upshot for rail workers, mainly a 24% pay increase over the five-year span of the contract. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
And there's a fresh snapshot on the labor market out today.
Although the economy may be slowing down, the job market remains fairly solid. In November, there were 263,000 jobs added for the month. That was slightly ahead of expectations. The unemployment rate remained at 3.7%. That's actually been in a very narrow range since March of 3.5% to 3.7%.
That's business analyst Jill Schlesinger. Alex Jones filed for personal bankruptcy protection today in Texas. The Sandy Hook denier has been ordered by courts to pay more than $1 billion to victims' families. Earlier, his company sought bankruptcy protection. Early voting that ends today has been brisk in the U.S. Senate runoff in Georgia. CBS's Nicole Killian reports a final day's effort is underway by both parties to rally support.
Hoping to maximize turnout ahead of this closely contested runoff, Senator Raphael Warnock turned to a reliable source.
You get a buy one, get one free deal on elections this year.
Former President Barack Obama made his case for the incumbent to add to the Democrats' majority.
A 15-year-old campaigning for Warnock in Savannah was shot in the leg on the doorstep of a home. A suspect is in custody. U.S. soccer player Walker Zimmerman tells CBS Mornings the team is all ready for tomorrow's World Cup battle with the Netherlands.
We've been the underdogs before. U.S. soccer is used to that role. I think it's kind of what has made our team so special is the resiliency that we have, that competitive spirit that, you know, every team before us has had, and we feel like we embody that.
The nation's 988 hotline, meant to help people with a mental health emergency, is back up and running now after a day-long outage yesterday. Checking Wall Street, right now the Dow is down 121 points. The S&P 500 is down 24 points. This is CBS News.
Facet Wealth is an SEC-registered investment advisor. They offer customized financial planning for you, not just your assets. Learn more by calling 888-598-3966.
Paid for by government.com.
Have you heard? A recent stash of 1904 Morgan silver dollar coins has been found. These gorgeous 1904 O silver dollar coins are as bright and shiny as the day they were struck. This is a key date for silver dollar collectors, and only a limited quantity are available. Coin experts are calling this an amazing opportunity for anyone interested in silver coins. Just call government at 1-800-895-7664 and you are guaranteed a mint condition 1904 O Morgan silver dollar featuring the iconic O mint mark of the New Orleans Mint. The final year of production, but with limited quantity, you must call now. These 1904 O silver coins are still in uncirculated condition. That is 117 years of history you can hold in your hand. To learn more, call 1-800-895-7664. Call now and you'll receive a free American Coin Collector's Bonus Package, a $25 value free with every order. Call 1-800-895-7664 now to secure your 1904 O Morgan silver dollars before they sell out. That's 1-800-895-7664.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you, as a police officer, we're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. So the police should be reaching out to this community. And this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. Here is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, December 5th. In Wood County, the Property and Information Technology Committee will meet at 9 a.m. at the courthouse in room 114. The Wisconsin Rapids Plan Commission meeting will take place at 4 p.m. within the council chambers at City Hall on 444 West Grand Avenue. The Stevens Point City Plan Commission will hold their meeting at 6 p.m. in Stevens Point. The Portage County Health and Human Services Board will meet at 4:30 p.m. at the Portage County Annex Conference Rooms 1 and 2. The City of Adams will hold their City Council meeting from 6 to 7 p.m. at 101 North Main Street in Adams. The Adams County Administrative and Finance Committee will meet from 9 to 11:30 a.m. at the Adams County Courthouse, located at 401 Adams Street in Friendship. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows dip down to about 10 above. High temperatures reach up to 19 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
If life seems jolly rotten,
well, welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is our final hour of the week. It is Friday. I am ready for the weekend. Thank you for listening across the Civic Media Network, Waukesha, Wausau, Amory, Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison tonight. Join the conversation. You are always welcome, 844-967-2789, to round out this week and today. Good friend of the show, back for the third time, comedian Laura Lyons is here because she has been in NPR, she's been in the Daily Beast, she's written things that have been published before, but you recently, I think right before I left for my vacation, I saw that you had a new article in the Daily Beast. We didn't get to get you on before I left town, so now here you are to sit to talk about the eight things you should never say to someone with long COVID.
Yes, hello, everyone. Thank you for having me back.
How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm lots of doctor's appointments that were up and down, but we're just going with the flow.
How's the weather in Worcester right now?
I love how you say Worcester.
How are you supposed to say it? Worcester?
Worcester. Oh, it's whatever. Like Worcestershire sauce, kind of. You
Why
know
is there
what I
two
mean?
O's then?
Well, no.
There's a O. I thought it was W-O-O.
I think that's like Ohio.
Oh, all right. Clearly a Midwest girl.
Yeah, we love a Midwest girl. So yeah, it's been good. It's not been bad, which we love.
So as a reminder, before we get into your advice, remind the audience who may have not heard you on the show before, your COVID experience.
Yes, my COVID experience has been going on for 2.5 years. It started on March 24th, 2020. I was admitted to the hospital. They told me, my parents, I had 6 hours to live. They put me in a coma. They med helicoptered me to Boston, and I was put on ECMO, which is the last form of life support someone can be on, as well as a ventilator, feeding tube, and trach. And I was there for months. Overall, I was in the hospital for over 5 months, so for half a year. I was paralyzed, voiceless. I had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, sleep, all of it. And for the past 2.5 years, it's just been this journey. I'm still on oxygen and primarily in a wheelchair because of my lung scarring. So, you know, we're taking it every day with a happiness and a grain of salt at the same time.
Absolutely. So with that, what are some of the things that you shouldn't say to someone struggling with long COVID?
Yeah. So I was inspired from this article because there are some well-intentioned people, and then there's some people that are really out of pocket. And it took me a while to write this article because I was just accumulating things that people were saying that either sounded really passive, that wasn't helpful, or Some were just kind of mean. Some were misogynistic. You know, it's a plethora of things that you hear when you're chronically ill, especially in a political climate that has politicized this disease. You're kind of used as a puppet in a lot of ways. It's really bizarre. So I decided I'm going to take these annoyances and write an article about it. So essentially, it goes from the passive to the agitating ones all over. First one is just think positively, which I say in the article, basically, I want to invest in Wayfair because the amount of pillows I have to scream into would increase their stock prices. Because you just, if someone tells you to just think positively, it's like, do you want to trade wearing a diaper at the age of 33 and throwing up with fractured ribs? I don't think so. So, you know, I'm a positive person, but if I have to say I'm really tired because I had a 14-hour coughing fit, it's like, let me say that and not kind of shut it down with a think positively thing. Mm-hmm. Another one is, you know, you look so happy on social media. All of us show the highlight reels of social media, right? But when you're chronically ill, you're only showing the good parts primarily. And I'm a repressed New Englander who's half Irish. So like, I'm going to be as repressed as possible. So I'm not going to be like crying on, I mean, maybe I should, so people actually know how horrible it is. But yeah, it's tough when you have to keep up with the digital Joneses, mm-hmm. especially when you're a comedian and you're so tired and you have chronic fatigue and you're on steroids, you're off steroids, your sleep is out of control. So yeah, I think it's that kind of what you see isn't the reality, especially with someone who has long COVID. And then the next one is manifest being healthy, which
feels a lot like think positively.
It does. It's this kind of new wave of the wellness industry that's like very, if you can think it, you can do it. And it's like, yeah, but racism, homophobia, and misogyny exist. Like, I can't just think positively and racism goes away. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like, there's this kind of, you have bad energy. Let me push you away and negate what you're saying type of movement. And I actually talked to a Buddhist chaplain about this. A Buddhist chaplain.
What is a Buddhist chaplain?
She's Buddhist, but she goes to hospitals and aftercare outpatient groups. And I got to talk to her. And I was like, I'm really struggling with people saying, you know, the manifest and the positivity. And I want to get your input because mm-hmm. it all kind of started this westernized version of Buddhism, you know, and yoga and all this stuff. And I was like, I really want to get your view on this. And she said, toxic positivity is like swallowing poison. It's horrible for you. And she said, you have to admit if you're having a bad day or if you need more support or you need to be vocal and it's actually not good for you, which I thought was very interesting. And it kind of leads me into the next one of you should do apple cider vinegar shots every morning.
Which that for any person is not proven to be like the thing to do. Because I've looked it up and it's not, I don't know if there's a ton of science behind any health benefits of that. Let alone for your situation.
Right. Like, I don't know if there's lobbyists trying to push apple cider vinegar or something because, honey, the amount of recos of apple cider vinegar, or I should say ACV for short. It's really wild because it's like, I can take vitamin D every day, which I do. And yet my lungs are still scarred. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's like, there's these suggestions, which as someone who, you know, is going to MGH in Boston that has some of the best doctors, like we're getting that information. So we don't really need kind of the, have you tried vitamin D yet type of thing. You know, and it just goes back of this new wellness industry. I mean, in the US, it's worth over $50 billion on its own. So I kind of say now that the wellness industry is for already able-bodied, mentally healthy people. It really doesn't help disabled people, and people have real depression, anxiety, and all this stuff. It's kind of just this Pleasantville utopian band-aid on really what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? So those type of things like are not helpful. And then you deal with then the extreme, really, you know, anti-vaxxers and COVID is a hoax. And it does get laborious after a while of people fighting in my comments on, you know, say TikTok or social media, saying, I had this one person say I was a sheep because I got COVID.
You're a sheep for getting COVID.
I was a sheep for getting COVID. And then someone said, prove to me that you're sick now because of COVID and not the vaccine. Now, I got COVID in March 2020 when the vaccine did not exist. So it's a little infuriating. And then I get people asking me if I'm dating. Now, this is one of the funniest things because, as I mentioned before, I'm in a diaper. I don't think this will lead to anything. I don't want to kink shame anyone. You do you, boo. But that's not my bag. You know what I mean? I'm not really into it. And I basically was not a volunteer in this. You know what I mean? So there's that. And then, you know, then there's the just breathe. People who are like, just take sips, just take breaths. And I'm like, I'm on oxygen 24/7. Like, yeah, I know about breathing. And it's kind of a luxury, you know, you kind of take advantage of every breath we all take. And I'm so now aware of it, of every single breath that I take now.
I'm going to cut you off before you do the last one, because I want to talk. I feel like there's a bigger conversation around this last one, because so much of what your advice, and it's very funny when you read the article, because you are a comedian, Laura Lyons. But it is, I think, like you said, it's not just long COVID. It's anyone dealing with a disability or a chronic illness or this. When you try to talk to someone who is, it's hard to put yourself in their shoes of what they're going through, trying to guide them as far as what is not helpful. And so I think it is well worth the read. So if you want to look up on the Daily Beast, Laura Lyons, the 8 things you should never say to someone who has who's with long COVID, you can look that up. She's going to be here until 12:45 though. And so you can stay tuned to As Goes Wisconsin to hear more of Laura Lyons.
Just before you draw your terminal breath, life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life. Always look on the bright side of life. Always look on.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged, and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive. Locally owned and putting you and the community first.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
I'm a wife and the mother of two kids, and I've got a good job.
Bye, Mom.
See you, Mom.
A pretty important job. Because of my family and my job, I really care about this neighborhood. It's a good neighborhood. Yes, there's some crime. And when I drive to work, like now, I realize that some people here don't trust the police. So the police should be reaching out to this community, and this community should reach out to the police. That's the way to make this a safer place. And when I get to work in the precinct house and put on my uniform, I can tell you as a police officer that this department is reaching out to the community and the community is doing its part. We're building partnerships. This should be happening everywhere. This is how we can all be safer. Get involved. Start the conversation.
Start the conversation and help stop crime. To learn the five things you can do, go to ncpc.org/preventviolentcrime. A message from the National Crime Prevention Council and the Bureau of Justice Assistance.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Ain't got no cash, ain't got no style, ain't got no gal to make you smile, but don't worry, be happy. When you're
welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this hour is Laura Lyons, who is a comedian, and we're talking about her newest article in the Daily Beast, 8 Things You Should Never Say to Someone Living with Long COVID. But a lot of these pieces of advice can be applied in many different scenarios as far as someone dealing with chronic illness or a disability or someone who is grieving. And so I wanted to hold off on you talking about your number 8 out of 8 piece of advice. And so what is that one?
Exactly. It's something that if you have a loved one that's passed away, if someone is in a car accident that's injured, someone that's sick, the passive kind of comment, which usually is well-intended, is the, let me know if there's anything I can do. 9 times out of 10, that person is not going to let you know that there's anything that they need, because they don't want to be a burden on a lot of people, especially if it's a friend of a friend or, you know, a family member's coworker or something like that. Like, you're never going to ask out of your kind of core group of supporters that you need help. So rather than that, I absolutely recommend doing more active things like sending notes, little gifts. Food is a really big one, especially if someone's chronically ill or grieving. It's an energy thing, right? Like, if someone's really sad that someone's passed away, they're not going to have the effort to make a home-cooked meal. And it's the same if you're chronically ill. It takes a lot of energy to cook. For example, for me, my lung capacity isn't good. So standing up takes a while and it's a lot of effort. So to get something out of the refrigerator is a huge deal for me. And coming back, I'll have a coughing fit, all of that. So the food one is actually a really big thing. And if you're not in the area where you can just drop off food at their door, there's so many great shipping options now for great food. Like, if someone misses New York bagels, there's Zabar's that delivers all over the country.
Is
and
that a hint?
You know what I mean? Oh my God, no, but they're so good, but no. But yeah, so, or like chocolate that they miss from something or something special between the both of you. Memories is really good because that person is probably also grieving a lot of fear of missing out because mm-hmm. they're chronically ill, or they're so sad that they can't participate in activities. So they're kind of by the sidelines. So if you send these gifts that have a lot of meaning or just are really thoughtful, it feels like, okay, I'm still a part of this person's life, even though I physically can't be there. So I recommend a lot of like great memories, food, comfort, and to be like, I'm thinking of you. And those things are so helpful.
And it's so interesting because I remember more specifically in the time of someone grieving, of it is such an easy thing to say of like, let me know if there's anything yeah. I can help. Cause and I think people genuinely mean it, but like you said, it's like, that's still putting the burden on the person who is sick or grieving or that you were trying to help, but it's putting them in the position to tell you what they need help with versus saying, can I drive you somewhere? Can I get you food? Can like being more specific of how you can help. And so do you think it's better just not to say anything instead of saying that or asking?
It's actually really frustrating.
Yeah, that, I mean, I'm serious.
To be honest, because it's almost like, you know, when someone, you're at a dinner party at a house and someone's like, oh, do you need any help? And they have no intention of actually helping you. It's like, that's kind of worse because it's like, you're not going to do anything. So why are you even volunteering just so you can seem kind of this like, volunteering hero, but you actually aren't going to do anything. It's almost like a weird virtue signaling, you know? So I would say if you want to actually be there for someone, be there for them in whatever it is, gifts, notes, it doesn't have to be expensive. It can just be a great note or a text or a funny email or like book recommendations or TV recommendations, just to show that you're thinking of them. That is so much more helpful. I think the empty gestures and the platitudes get really exhausting mm-hmm. after a while. And they do become burdensome. So I think either help or don't, I think is kind of my biggest advice, you know?
Laura, the next time someone tells you to manifest health, I want you to get their phone number for me so I can call them and we can have a little chat.
I love you so much. Like, you do not mess around. And that is why you're one of my favorite people in this world, because it really is. And in the article I write, like, do you think I really manifested me being in a wheelchair? Like, do you think on my vision board I had a concentrator that pumps oxygen into my nose? I didn't think so. I wasn't on Pinterest pinning oxygen tanks and transport chairs and cushions for my tushy for the transport chair because it's really hurt. It hurts a lot. You know what I mean? So I think 5-year plans, they don't exist as well. Yeah. I have talked to many therapists and spiritual leaders and all this stuff. And they're like, it's just a way for you to feel like you have control, but we don't have control whatsoever.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to keep you through the break. When we come back, we're going to move on and to have a bigger conversation around why women aren't funny, the role of humor in our moral virtues. And so stick with us. Laura Lyons will be here when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. In every life we have some trouble. But when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry. Be happy, don't worry, be happy now. Don't worry. Be.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors: Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria, Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company, Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly, and Brenda Piotrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated, and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and local Grown Radio.
You wanted information as election results rolled in and the Civic Media Network of radio stations delivered it live.
I was so impressed with your coverage, and I listened to you guys and I got all the coverage. It was amazing.
Civic Media, the only network with news reporters and show hosts stationed across Wisconsin, sharing political insight not found anywhere else. Elections or anytime, we are here for you. Your local Civic Media radio stations and streaming on the Civic Media app.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that. It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Olivia, from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger, from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel, from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. For the small town of Abbotsford, the annual Christmas parade is a big deal. For the 51st year, the little town of around 2,000 people will enjoy more than 45 floats and hundreds of costumes in the parade that always takes place on the first Saturday in December. One of the favorite floats is the sinuous Puff the Magic Dragon that twines around the street and blows steam towards attendees. Puff has been a part of the annual parade since the 1970s and has become the star of the show. Thousands of hours go into making the storybook-themed parade a magical event for everyone. Newer floats feature characters from Disney movies and popular shows, and not to be outdone by a dragon, Santa Claus is sure to make an appearance. The parade starts on Abbotsford's Main Street at 7 p.m. December 3rd. In sports, for college women's volleyball, Wisconsin hosts Quinnipiac tonight. Also tonight, the Bucks take on the Lakers. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with daytime highs approaching 45. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Mixed precipitation possible at times. Lows dip down to about 10 above. High temperatures reach up to 19 tomorrow. Ample sunshine expected. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 42.
It's hard for me to even believe that that was a woman's idea. Sounds like a man infiltrated a meeting, and he was like, we gotta get these nipples on Instagram. Did you hear we can't? It's not fair for the women. You know me, my main concern is the women.
Some feminists that are like, we want to be in charge.
Oop. Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on the Civic Media Network. Hello, Waukesha, Wausau, Amory, Oshkosh, Richland Center, Madison tonight, on the app, on the podcast. We are rounding out this week. Today's Friday, last half hour of the show, and my friend of the show, Laura Lyons, comedian, is here, and we found these. I have never heard of this. It's a digital magazine called Psyche, and they have two different articles that I felt like there was no one I wanted to talk about it more than with you, having you on. And so one, I think, is very obvious. Well, both are obvious compared on, but one is how humor is a moral virtue, even in dark times. And the other is a historical, the historical accuracy of why women aren't funny. And so where should we start, Laura Lyons?
I feel like we should start with the sense of humor. Even a dark sense of humor is a good virtue to have.
I agree. Because
I think it's interesting what this article talks about.
I totally agree. So it's in Psyche magazine, a sense of humor, even a dark one, is a moral virtue. And it was written by Mark Alfano, who's an associate professor of philosophy, and Mandy Estola, who's a lecturer of philosophy at Delft University. And a lot of the examples they give in the article is talking about the humor that we've seen play out in the Ukraine-Russian war, and like how humor is used against power, but also used, it's like, you can't laugh, what else can you do? And I feel like when I was reading this article, it reminded me of, did you watch Dairy Girls?
I just finished it this morning.
So good. I haven't seen the most recent season of it, but this is a show where it's a fictional show that's produced right now, but the context is early 90s Ireland. So during the dark times of the Civil War that was happening, where randomly, like, the resistance would be bombing bridges and you would have to go around. But like, that is like the backdrop of the show. The main plot of the show, these high school girls who are ridiculous. And if you watch it, I highly recommend putting on the subtitles because it is a very thick Irish accent, but
Northern Irish too. Yes.
But I remember listening to a interview with the creator of the show, showrunner of the show, who this is based off her life. And she said, I just remember the women of that time being so funny, because that's a survival tactic as well.
Absolutely. I think sometimes the funniest people have to survive. I mean, that's a huge trope, but I do think it's true in a lot of ways, and it's the only way to heal and to cope and to get through something. And those examples of the Ukraine-Russian war, I mean, we all have heard about the Ukrainian grandmother giving the sunflower seeds mm-hmm. to the Russian soldiers, saying there, when your corpse is in the ground, there'll be flowers that come from it. And I think it's really important, especially dark humor. And it's so funny, the Dairy Girls, I was watching it this morning, I finished season 3, and I thought the same thing of, these girls in high school just wanted to live regular lives. They couldn't, but they still had incredible wit to them. Mm-hmm. And I think that wit becomes really complex, which is more interesting and sarcastic and deadpan. And there's so many levels to it that I think is really important. And the article basically talks about it being a moral virtue, which I never really thought about before.
Yeah,
and that was so fascinating, because they said it goes back to ancient Greece, when Aristotle had this phrase called the golden mean, which basically meant good traits are in between bad examples. Like, courage is good because it's in between cowardness and having no fear at all. And that is a way to temper your emotions. So you kind of go into the world with people being authentic and they authentically respecting you. And humor is a great healing tool, and also a way to make your emotions, if they're going up or down, you can use humor to kind of neutralize them. And I never thought of it that way. And I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, it's like me, even when we were talking about when people say, think positively and I have to scream into a pillow. It's like that neutralizes it and it makes it a joke versus having anger or sadness, those kind of extreme emotions. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was really interesting, how in dire conditions that like aren't conducive to being happy, you still can use this quote unquote, moral virtue to have respect and to live in kind of a happy condition, even though everything around you isn't good.
Well, and one of the other points they make there is how what our sense of humor is and what we find funny is also a signal of what our values are. And so sometimes it is used as a tool to vet out who aligns with our values. Cause if you make a joke and they don't laugh at it, it's like, well, maybe I don't like you that much anyways. and I felt like that was a bridge to the other article, the say in also in Psyche, which is the history of women not being funny, and an actual historian trying to mark how did this trope or this stereotype happen. And as two women, I think three women who fancy ourselves as funny people. I also wonder how much it is true of, well, there's just certain men who don't find us funny because the things we find funny as women and women who tell jokes. So well, maybe you just don't get it, dude.
Yeah. And it's the, it is really interesting because, you know, 10 years ago, we kind of accepted male humor as the only thing, and it was king and that was it. And we were going to hear the difference between men and women and how much they hated their wives and their girlfriends. And we just took it. And, it's funny, the evolution of humor, especially in that article. But yeah, it's, they're not the authority on what's funny. And I think that has shifted so much, even in the past 10 years, of like, it's okay for them not to laugh because that doesn't mean you're not funny.
Yeah.
Which I think is a huge thing that's changed over the past decade for sure.
We're talking to Laura Lyons, who is a comedian based out of Worcester.
Yeah, baby.
Based out of the East Coast, about two different articles that we found in psyche.co, which is where you can find it. And this one is just when in history did men decide that women are not funny? And it was interesting because one of the things they point out is that as things become either profitable or a sign of respect, because one of the things that they said that women used to do, which I did not know, that in medieval times, the brewmasters were women. That like brewing beer was a woman's role until that shifted and it becomes, well, only men do this. And I think that is another male dominated, as I have friends who work in the beer industry, like it is, it's a very male dominated thing. And so like, tell me, it happened but kind of around Freud, right? Is that what you picked out of the article?
Yes, that before then, women and humor was suppressed and oppressed in a different light, but it was never that women aren't funny. It was women have to be demure and not laugh because that means that, you know, they're not pure or Christian, like all of that. But then in the 20th century, Freud basically said, you know, women aren't funny because they are less complex psychic development, quote, that he said. And it's the castration fear of the superego. Like, then it became kind of this like, oh, women actually don't have it in their body to be funny. Which I find, it's so interesting because I've heard growing up women aren't funny. I mean, I still hear it like on TikTok and all of that. And, but it's interesting that it stems from that because beforehand, even during like the witch trials, it was never a tick on the list of why a woman should be tried in a trial of, oh, she's too funny, you know? And so it kind of revolution. I mean, it basically stems from money and misogyny of what you're saying of, basically, after the 17th century, like during the 18th century, it was kind of commodifying with humor on stage and it was bringing audiences. But because delivering jokes is kind of this like aggressive, assertive, confident thing. They didn't want women to be on stage because of that. So then in the 19th century, when it became really profitable, they pushed women to the side. So it just kind of kept pushing the stereotype of a woman not being funny, but it was just because they could make money off of it. So they steered women away from it.
Laura, I am going to laugh about Freud's women aren't complex enough to be funny, but men are.
Truly. Truly. I was saying earlier, I had a TikTok that was just really, it was dark humor, really sarcastic about, you know, my doctors being like, yeah, we don't know how long you're going to live for. And the men in the comments were like, did not get it. They didn't comprehend it. They tried to like mansplain things to me. And I'm like, buddy, this is dark humor. I don't know what to tell you, like all this stuff. So it's fascinating. Freud is, you know, a little devil over there.
A little devil.
But it is interesting because I feel like in that article, they reference only 10-ish years ago. What was it in Vanity Fair that someone, they literally published an entire article about trying to make an evolutionary argument of why men are funnier than women because of they need to like woo in the
main
cycle of human existence that men had to woo women with their wit and all we had to be was fertile. And it was like, who signed off on this? And that wasn't even that long ago that they published
it. It was in Vanity Fair.
Yes, I know.
And I tell you what, they think they're hilarious.
Hilarious.
Almost every man thinks he's hilarious.
Lord, I know you were, when we were friends in New York, you were doing more sketch and improv and stuff. Did you ever do stand-up?
I opened with a dead friend joke and it was crickets.
So, do you still remember the joke? Speaking of dark humor.
Yeah, it was.
Is it okay for radio?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can we say like murder on radio?
Yeah.
Okay. So I said, my friend was running in broad daylight and was burned alive and murdered. And my friend told me, and I said, yet another reason not to run.
Jay liked it. Oh my God. That is pretty dark. That is a pretty dark.
Dark Tina. And when I tell you the room went silent, it wasn't white noise. It wasn't crickets. It was outer space silence. That dust. You could hear dust. It was that quiet. And I had to just, I don't know, recover and talk about. I talked about Bravo for the rest of the 10 minutes because I was like, I don't know where to go from here.
Let's talk about Andy Cohen. Okay.
Yeah. Let's keep it light, I guess. People.
All right. Well, friend, so fun to have you on the show. We'll probably have you back on in the new year. I hope you stay healthy and happy and just stay positive, Laura Lyons.
I'm going to stay positive and take vitamin D.
All right. We'll see you next time. Have a great day, friend.
Okay. Thanks for having me.
All right. Stick around. Mama, the mother of Christmas, Debbie Rye, ends the show with us this week. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Save the rich. It's so easy to.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving
is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human, and she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese, and guess what? Egg rolls showed up, like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and special guest in studio to round out my first week back after vacation. In studio, sitting across from me, the mother of Christmas, my mother, Debbie Bry. How you doing, Mom?
I'm good. I'm the mother of Christmas and the mother of Kristen.
There you go. It was a big family show. Dad was on earlier. He had to call in. But how do you feel about women being funny?
I do think we are funny, and I think it helps us get through a lot of tough stuff.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I would say, Dad's probably listening, but I would say, I think my sense of humor comes a little bit, he's more sarcastic.
Yeah.
But you're goofier.
Yeah,
I think exactly. I get my goofiness from you.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Considering yesterday, as the mother of Christmas, you were in town, and you took it upon yourself to Christmas-fy our house, and it looks excellent. And I walked
Thank
in.
You.
So I worked until like 6. I hadn't been home all day. Mama Bri had been in the house, taking what Christmas decorations we had and perfecting them across our new home. And I walked in and she was wearing a Santa hat and she said, Alexa, play the Hallelujah Chorus by Neil Diamond. And so I walked into the house, that song was blaring and she was just like dancing and singing to the song and showing off of her work and everything she had done that day. And it was perfection, Mother.
Thank you. Well, only because that's our song, isn't it?
That is our song.
It's our song.
That's also the song I played after the end of my ceremony. I surprised Mike with because people now after they kiss the bride play, the Star Wars theme or whatever they want. And so he didn't care. He's like, I don't care what you play. So I surprised everyone. And that was what I played at the end of the ceremony. So did you say we have a text about women being funny?
About women being funny. Yeah. But he had texted earlier when we were talking to the professor from Marquette about Les Miserables and the history of that. And he said, am I a terrible person if I don't like that musical? I love musical theater and I can't stand Les Mis. And I said, no, you're fine as long as you like Spamalot. If you didn't like Spamalot, then we're going to have some issues. But then he also said, I've never heard or thought about women not being funny. I'm a male in my mid-40s. I grew up with Carol Burnett, all of the women on SNL. It's never crossed my mind. Sorry, it is a struggle.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is, it's such a funny thing that's still this stereotype when you think of the women throughout, specifically the 20th and now obviously the 21st century, but like Lucille Ball, Carol Burnett.
Phyllis Diller, Mary Tyler Moore, Valerie Harper. I mean, I can list off a whole, Joan Rivers.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think it's debunked and it's just people who don't get the joke that still think that women aren't funny. But at least while you're here, Mom, we were talking about this a little bit yesterday as far as the best Christmas things to do across Wisconsin. But what would you say some of your favorite Christmas either things you've done or things you look forward to every year?
Well, I love to ride around and look at the lights, and I always appreciate when people put all that effort into decorating. I was trying to think of the places in Wisconsin Rapids that would be good to mention, and I could not give any addresses because I didn't know the addresses. But, there's a lot of people who take a ton of time. There's one person in our town that you go by and that you can sit out in front and it's hooked up to the radio and you can listen in your car. And so that's, I mean, that's a lot of effort to make other people feel happy and joyful. So I think I love that. Because, you know, I like to decorate. So I do decorate for holidays, for Christmas and big time for Halloween, right?
Yes, big time for Halloween.
Christmas is a little bit more traditional for me, so I don't do lots and lots of lights. But I do love lights. I do like when we can go someplace and hear Christmas music. I like to eat.
Where do you think your love of Christmas? Truly, I mean, I think good friend Colleen Marion growing up, she always used to describe our house at Christmas like Santa threw up on it, and which is a compliment. But we have lots of Santa. You know, you go so hard for decorating for Christmas. Like, where do you feel like that came from as far as really putting so much effort into leaning into the holiday?
Well, I think we grew up always really enjoying the holiday, all the holidays, but Christmas was real special because all the family would come to our house and we would be packed in because we had a little house. My mom made it really fun and with lots of traditions and things, but I think it was that as the beginning, and then, you know, I like to collect stuff, so I... I started collecting my mom gave me my first Santa Claus, and I started a collection that now is quite big, not as big as many, but mine is nice.
Who has a bigger Santa Claus collection? Who's a private, not like...
There's people out there with thousands.
Yeah, that you've seen?
No, I've seen on TV and stuff that. No, I haven't seen him, but there's people that collect all different things, and I am kind of a collector, which now I guess is kind of a big mistake because I've been told my children don't want any of it, so...
That's not true. You passed on...
A couple things, but
what I've been told is... Look at the things you just set up in the house.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think we bought any of that. That's all gifted by you.
Well, it's the kind of person that I am, honey.
See, you're funny.
But I don't know. It just has always been there. You know, I grew up, and my dad owned a small store, and I worked in there, and I did the decorating in there. Maybe that's where it started. I kind of had free reign to do what I wanted in there, and I've always enjoyed decorating everything, not just Christmas time, but I enjoy doing things in the house. So
yeah,
it's in my blood.
You're very good at it.
Thank you.
Tom from West Dallas threw in another funny lady on the text line at 844-967-2789, Fran Drescher.
Oh yeah.
Danny.
Yeah.
Lots of funny ladies.
Yeah, there are lots.
There are. I think we've debunked that, but it was more interesting of that article. I'll send it to you. It's just the history of any of these things, of how things develop. I can't remember what it was, but I even saw one the other day on a TikTok of how we got the term soccer, right? Like there's a story behind almost everything that we just assume is nothing. Just is. There's always something behind it. Yeah. And so you're heading back to Rapids?
I am. I'm going to go north.
Got any plans for the weekend besides sitting watching with Dad the Marquette and Badger game?
I'll be decorating.
Oh, so is my house further along than your house right now?
Yours is far, far more along than mine is. I got lots to do, so I've done your treats. Now I'll go and get my business done.
All the Christmas, yep. The North Pole. We'll say that our house always looks like the North Pole. Not that Santa threw up on it. It's a nicer way to put it.
Better. Yeah, yeah. Colleen, my favorite girl, and then she says that about me.
She said it. But, she said it as a compliment.
Yeah. No, I know it. Today is a big day.
Oh, yeah.
Grandma's birthday.
Carol Bry, 91.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, my grandmother, your mother-in-law, Dad's mom, 91 years old today, still kicking. Anyone who was at our wedding couldn't believe that she was 90, let alone now she's 91. So very happy birthday to her. Are you guys celebrating with her when you get back at all?
Well, I won't be back in time because I didn't think I was going, but they're going out for a fish fry, which, of course, you know, I can't do.
You can't do anyways. So
they're going to be going out to the restaurant of her choice and having fun.
All right.
I just spoke with her while I was waiting to come on. So
perfect. That's a good reminder for me to give her a call after this show.
That's a good idea.
All right. Well, Mom, thanks so much for closing out this week's show with me.
Sure thing,
you're a big number one fan.
I am always
fun to have you on here.
Thank you.
And
it's always fun to see you.
That'll do it for this week. We will be back on Monday. Everyone have a safe, fun, relaxing weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop